Broadcasting live from Studio 1A in Brooklyn, New York, this is Empire State Reptiles Live, specializing in connecting breeders and fans worldwide. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. It is so great to be back here. I'm hosting the show once again. We were gone for about a good, I would say, month. We took a vacation, and then some things happened, so it became an extended vacation. But we're back here, and we're back here better than ever. Of course, vacations are nice to take, give you a little time to rejuvenate, plan for future shows and everything like that, and also plan for some different things besides shows. We've actually picked up a new type hobby on the site. We're going to be offering custom-made enclosures and tanks through our special guest tonight. He's going to come on the show, talk to you guys a little bit about what he does, how he builds the tanks, and all that good stuff, so we're going to have a lot of fun. Tonight's show is not going to be that long, about 30 minutes, I would say so, just because first time we're coming back, it's just basically almost like an update show. Next week, we're going to be getting back into our hour-long shows, and we're going to be sitting down with some breeders, and you guys know that that's what this show is about, connecting breeders and fans, or shall I say, breeders and enthusiasts. Some people don't like my slogan, breeders and fans. I don't know why. You guys are kind of mean if you don't like it. Just kidding. All right, so I'm done yapping and stuff, but also I want to talk a little bit about some recent events that took place while I was gone. I said that I was going to talk about it a little bit when I came back, and I'm not going to indulge in it that much. I just want to acknowledge the fact that these events happened. Of course, the event in Manchester, that of course we all know about that. I said I was going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm not going to really talk about it because when it happened, it was about a couple weeks ago. I think it's May something, and it's quite some time from now, so I don't think that I really need to talk so much about it. But also, the shooting of Benjamin Renick of Renick Reptiles, that is definitely something that it's hit us hard, and I know I've purchased a ball python from him in the past, a male that I've since sold, of course. You know me, I'm always selling stuff, but a male that I've actually since sold about a couple months back to a good friend of mine. I want to say, I think he was a clown. Yeah, he was a clown. That our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. I'm going to, in the episode section for the next couple episodes, I'm going to leave the link for his support fund for his family and his wife. So you guys can go and help out or buy a t-shirt. I think they're selling t-shirts in hopes of raising some money. I'm not sure if it's to pay for funeral expenses, but it doesn't really matter. Of course, we know that they're going to be expenses and stuff like that that comes with that tragic event. So as per request of a couple of buddies, we're going to have like a little moment of silence and everything like that. And just to acknowledge the fact that we've lost some amazing people these past couple months in 2017. We're only halfway through the year, and it's been pretty difficult for us, not only as a reptile community, but also as a community or universe as a whole, or nation as a whole, if you would say. So in solidarity, we're going to have a quick moment of silence. So I hope that you acknowledge why we're doing it. And I will begin for 30 seconds now.
This is Empire State Reptiles Live.
All right, we're back, so let's get into the show. Enough with the sadness. Let's get into the fun part of the show. Let's welcome on Mr. Tito Pomeres. I think I said that right. Good evening, Tito. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. So let's start off by talking about the fact that you are a professional fabricator with a degree in science. I'm not sure what type of science or whatnot, but let's talk a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. When I graduated high school, I took a trade, so I got a degree in like welding and fabrication, a lot of metalwork stuff. Very early on, I realized in life that I was really mechanically inclined. I could, you know, see the working relationships between things and kind of how everything fits together. I can deconstruct stuff mentally, if you will. That being said, I've always had a passion for animals. I loved, you know, watching Steve Irwin and Bill Nye the Science Guy and just, you know, watching documentaries. So I went to college and I got a degree in biology and kind of ran with it there. Did a little bit with it, you know, focused more on like customer service and engineering and stuff like that. So just pretty diverse all around.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So what do you do with your degrees? How do you put all that knowledge that you have into use?
Like the projects?
Yeah.
So full-time, I work with a radio company, ironically. So I don't get to utilize it as much as I'd like to. But in my spare time, I have a lot of friends here in the area. I helped start the Rochester Aquarium Club here in upstate New York. And, you know, speaking to a lot of people that, you know, either breed fish or have, you know, pets that they want, like something different. We usually talk it out, kind of come up with a cool design that I think would work for them, and then incorporate both the mechanical aspect of it in terms of how we can adapt things and make something one-off. And then the science part of it is it going to be sustainable? Is it non-toxic? You know, will animals be happy in these enclosures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up toxic. That's also kind of ironic because the first item that will be released on our site is actually the toxic waste tank that you did. The pictures of the toxic waste tank should be in your player right now, guys, so you'll be able to check that out a little bit. So do you mind talking to us a little bit about the toxic waste?
Yeah, so I've been working on this project. I finished it last year, but it took me a couple of months to kind of conceptualize, and it's a process. You know, I mean, I think I have like a million different projects in the works, but everything has to kind of come to fruition naturally. And this kind of reminds me of like climate change, if you will. The reason I wanted to do something that was a little bit different is I wanted to find something that I could really incorporate glowfish into that wasn't just neon gravel and like, you know, plastic rocks. With this, you know, it kind of plays again that tribute of like global warming, a lot of the pollution that goes on in the world. And I kind of wanted to parody that with this tank where, you know, you turn it blue and then all of a sudden everything fluoresces, everything just pops right out at you. And it really, I think, looks really cool and one off.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, definitely. So what are you looking to do in the future projects? What type of other projects do you have in mind?
Well, after building this one, some of the ones that kind of came to mind was doing like a steam-powered, well, a steampunk aquarium that might incorporate actual steam-powered for the filtration. There's a lot of kinks to work that out. Some of the stuff coming up is going to be like a military tank. It's built into an ammo box, you know, like a little, I think, it's not a 50 cal box, but like a pretty decent sized box, maybe for like a little crayfish or something. I've got that in the works. I might be doing a cement tank with
a cement tank.
Yes. So Quikrete is having a contest to like build custom stuff with one bag of cement. And I've got some ideas that I want to play off of that'll incorporate that and be kind of like the cement is all of the framework and the light and everything built into it. And then I put in some glass panels, obviously, so you can look at the fish. But I've got like two or three variations of that that I want to look into doing. A lot of stuff is, you know, how does it look in my, you know, how does it look in my mind? Does it look like something that people would enjoy? And then you have to reverse engineer it. How can this be brought to fruition? What is required? Do the elements work together, if you will? You know what I mean? Some things, you know, they just, there's no way to make it happen unless you put, you know, fish in jeopardy or something that becomes toxic, you know, or breaks down in the water. That's always the tricky part.
Yeah, yeah. So you talked a little bit about the glowfish. Now, I know that you've been keeping fish for a while. So the glowfish company, I guess you can say, has come out, I would call it a campaign, recent years, talking about, our glowfish aren't made but with injections or whatnot. So how do you really feel about the quote-unquote new type of glowfish?
I'm okay with them, you know, and the way they're able to make them is by splicing the DNA of the fish with, I believe they use like a jellyfish, and I mean, that's fine. The genes that make that happen, the fluorescent genes, I've seen both, you know, obviously the jellyfish that fluoresce have like a certain, not a bioluminescence, but something similar to that. And so it's a natural occurring process. Even a lot of saltwater fish, they fluoresce. You can't see it with the naked eye, but with certain filters and under certain lights, you know, you can actually see a different spectrum of light and watch, you know, these animals produce a color that they do it all the time, but you can't even see it just because it's under like a different wavelength.
Of course.
So the fish I find, yeah, the fish are healthy. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with them. It's only when you see the ones from the store that are injected that I think are pretty not so good to look at. It's a mistreatment of the animal, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, of course. So when you talk about mistreatment of the animals, so what do you think is going too far, like with creating tanks? I know that when you're creating things, your mind can go so far. So what do you think is kind of too far in a sense?
You know, some of the tricky thing is like I was working on one design that I think would look really cool. It'd be a small tank set, almost like a couple gallons in size, and it would look cool, but for marketing purposes, like to get something in there that would like stand out, like a goldfish or something, would make it look like, oh, now you can see a fish in the tank, something that stands out at you. But then again, long term, you know that fish isn't meant for that size. It's not going to live in there. So I think when you start jeopardizing the health of the animal, you know, if either it's too small or it's in a completely wrong environment, you know, where it's not healthy for it, those are where I kind of start to take issue. I don't mind it being a little creative, like I've seen some of the TV shows where they incorporate, you know, a lot of fantasy stuff that you don't normally see in tanks.
Of course.
But I think those are fine. They, you know, everyone's got their own taste, and those are okay. It just, once you start getting into, okay, you're putting a fish in an environment or an animal in an environment that's not conducive to being healthy, then again, you have an issue.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So you're considering jumping into the realm of reptiles and amphibians, and you've actually created a tank for firebelly toads. So what were you thinking about doing with reptiles?
Sure. So I've been doing a lot of research and trying to really find out, you know, some of the groundwork that we could incorporate into each tank, something that sets most people up with pretty much like, I guess kind of like the base of what it takes to keep a reptile, you know, a humid substrate with drainage and, you know, is it going to be able to keep plants alive, stuff like that. So I've been dabbling a little bit with that, trying to find, I would love to go crazy, make, you know, something that's completely tropical with live plants and live wood and, you know, make it completely bioactive. But I think to start, I'm probably going to start doing more of like 3D backgrounds and keeping it with fake plants that look pretty natural, mm-hmm. and still keeping it to where it's easy to clean, easy to maintain. It's easy to transform into more of a natural tank with live plants if you wanted to. But it's really finding that balance that I'm finding to be a little bit tricky, but I think we're going to definitely get there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So can you walk us through the Fire Belly Toad tank? I know that it features some type of almost river or lake-looking type thing. So would you mind walking us through that tank?
Yeah, so I was talking to my buddy Chris, ironically. He'd wanted frogs for a long, long time, and he knew I could build stuff, but he didn't really know what he wanted. Like, he didn't. It's like when you get a tattoo, you kind of know what you want, but you know, sometimes when you just leave it to the artist, they can really make it look way better than you can imagine. So I sat down with him, say, okay, what are you looking to do? Well, I want frogs, okay, but I also want fish. All right. Now we know that fish can't be kept with frogs because they turn the water toxic, but he wanted the option of, like, if you wanted fish in there to start or afterwards. So we knew we were going to do half water, half land. That being said, we needed to know, okay, what proportions are we looking at? How much water do we need to keep the frogs and the fish? How much land do we have after that? Then he wanted a built-in filtration system that would help cycle the water and kind of keep everything fresh and aerated. So we built in like a channel that would suck water up from the bottom and then bring it down like a waterfall cascading thing. And I think we're going to get some moss and stuff to put on there to, again, help filter the water and give it like that really cool natural feel to it. Then again, we had to make it portable to get it from my house to his, because even though I could do everything with rocks, it would be really, really heavy. So I went ahead, I sculpted foam and like with the use of PVC board and PVC pipes and pumps and actually cement to help with the actual rock texture. I did like a roughing. I roughed it in with foam, covered it with cement to give it more of a natural look. The cement was kind of single tone, so I went back through with like non-toxic paint, painted over everything, gave it more detail, and then coated everything with acrylic. Even though the cement would have been fine, I think just for redundancy's sake, we just coated everything with a heavy clear resin to seal it all up, and again help keep the cement from eroding.
And yeah,
he loved it, man. He's having a great time.
Yeah,
it took us almost, the tank's been built since the start of the year. It took us like two, three months before we could get frogs into the state. I guess with legislations changing back and forth, we didn't know if we could. And then we had to make special requests through some of the stores here locally. And then it wasn't until recently that finally we were able to get them in stock. And he just bought every single one that they had ordered. And he's been loving it since. I think he's had one escape since, but we've also managed to cover it with the mesh screen now, so they can't all get out anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so why do you really love working with more fake plants than you actually do real plants? So why do you like doing that?
Sure. I'll be honest with you, I love working with live plants. I think it's really cool, especially if, you know, you can design it in a way that makes it completely unique. The advantage, I think, to fake plants is if you can find ones, you know, it's tough to find ones that look pretty natural, but if you can find ones that do, it really cuts back on a lot of the maintenance. And a lot of times, the people that I talk to, the people that I work with, you know, they may not know all of the requirements they need to upkeep live plants, you know, the CO2, the fertilizers, the strong lights. And so it's just not something that they want to really get into. They just more so want to enjoy the animal that's in there. And so we've been finding that just finding fake plants that look pretty real, it makes it a little bit easier to upkeep, you know what I mean? Easier to transport. You don't have to worry about stuff melting in the mail or you know, worry about pests and stuff getting into the tank. It's all sterile, if you will. So I like the ease of use of it, the convenience of it, and the fact that if you use it just right, or even in conjunction with hardy live plants, you can make a whole thing pop way more so than trying to grow out the live stuff and having to fuss with that.
Of course, of course. So,
yeah.
What is one product that you absolutely love, must have for building tanks? If somebody wanted to get into customizing and building tanks like you do.
How do you mean, like, as far as, like, inspiration goes, or,
Well,
like,
just, like, some things that they need to get into doing plants. Well, I mean, sorry, building tanks.
Sure, if someone wanted to, like, build custom tanks, definitely would start with, like, non-toxic paint, because a lot of times you can find, you know, even at the pet store, like, fake decorations that would look cool if you were to, you know, make a couple changes to them, you know, maybe cutting off a piece or two, or, you know, working it into like a new design. But a lot of times they look so fake that if you were to actually just touch them up with a little bit of, like, what's the word? I don't know the word. You weather them, right? Give them a little more detail, a little more finishing. Mm-hmm. You can make them really pop. I think having the right kind of light makes a big difference. You know, there's a lot of different temperatures out there. Some of them are more like blue and white. Some of them are yellow. And depending on what you're looking to do, having the right kind of lighting would really you know, make or break a tank, if you will. You have to kind of look at it from, like, a photographer's standpoint. If you're looking at doing a custom design, how is it going to look to the eye? How will it register on camera? You know, what are things that you have to take into account for that? That being said, I think incorporating stuff like live moss, or maybe, like, hardy live plants like ferns or anubias, and stuff that's easy to keep but doesn't have, like, a huge wow factor. If you incorporate that in the little nooks and crannies and find a way to really accent, you know, it's all about the details. You accent the tank, which is little minute details, and you can really, really make or break something.
All right.
Also, yeah. Focus on the light, get stuff that's non-toxic, and depending on what kind of animal you have to keep, just keep in mind, you know, what does that animal need? Does it need humidity? Does it need to be dry? What are things that you can transform that can be under those conditions without wearing down?
Okay. So where can people purchase your custom enclosures and all your products that you offer?
Sure. Well, currently, I'm going to partner up with you. We're going to have them on the Empire State Live Empire State Reptiles Live website.
Okay.
So I'm going to start doing those. And then from there, I'm not sure. We'll see. I know I've sell a lot of stuff locally. If anyone's in the upstate New York area, definitely to reach out to either yourself or myself.
Yeah. So also, Tito might also be having some of his tanks vended at the New York Reptile Expo. That's still a work in progress, but we're going to be letting you guys know when and where, if that will be happening. So I thank you so much, Tito, for coming on today and giving us a little glance at what's to offer on the website.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to, like you said, I'm still doing a lot of research. We're going to really build out some cool kits that people can, you know, order and get something that's a little bit more one-off, a little bit more like specialized for their home. So I think your listeners are going to really love it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to really love it too. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man. Have a great one.
You too. All right, folks, that basically does it for tonight. I know it's, of course, a short show, but I let you guys know that in advance, so you can't get mad at me for that. I thank you so, so much for tuning in to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. And don't forget to check out our website, www.empirestate.com. Oh, actually, our voiceover is going to say that at the end of the show, so no need for me to say that. But check out our website for Tito's kits that he's going to be launching soon. He also has a tank available for sale on the website now, the toxic waste tank. So if you're interested in that, definitely check that out. It is simply amazing. The work that he does is incredible. Thank you so, so much for tuning in tonight. And I hope to see you guys back here next weekend, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, not 7, Saturday night, Law Talk Radio. And we'll be ready to rock and roll for another kicking show. Good night.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Empire State Reptiles Live. Find us online at EmpireStateReptilesLive.com.